You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. And Todd, the season finally underway here and the Phillies look good for most of the opener, but then it slipped away late. But let's start with the positives, and you have to talk a little bit about Jeremy Hellickson, because here's a guy that they took a shot on in the offseason. They wanted him to be a guy that could pitch towards the top of that rotation and get back to what he was once upon a time with the Tampa Bay Rays. And man, 6 innings, 3 hits, he gave up just 1 unearned run. He was everything the Phillies hope he can be, right?
He really was, and I think that, certainly that was the best-case scenario. I think the best-case scenario going forward is he really kind of dials in, and, you know, for a rebuilding team, quite frankly, I think they're hoping that maybe they could spin him to a contender before the July 31st trade deadline. And they kind of went into last season thinking the same way with Aaron Harang, and it did not work out. But Hellickson off to a really good start yesterday. On Monday, he struck out Joey Votto 3 times swinging, and those third strike for Votto, he really waved it. He looked absolutely baffled out there. So very encouraging performance, and they need that. They needed some veteran presence in that rotation, a mostly inexperienced rotation. And if he can keep doing that, I think the Phillies are going to be feeling really good about that trade that they made with the Diamondbacks.
Is Hellickson a different pitcher now than he used to be, or is he trying to get back to being exactly the same guy on the mound?
Yeah, he's said that a lot. Trying to get back to being the guy I used to be on the mound. He said last couple seasons he would get behind in the count. He wouldn't attack hitters as much. He might try to be a little bit too fine. I think this year he said, going into spring training and throughout spring training, he said, you know, I'm just trying to get ahead of guys and put them away early and be a little bit more aggressive, kind of what he thought he did earlier in his career. So, so far, again, it looked like he's kind of taken what he was working on in spring training into the season.
Now, on the negative end of the opener was the bullpen not being able to hold the lead, letting it slip away late, and that's going to be a key for this team. So what can they do? Is there a hope that bullpen's going to be better? I mean, it's obviously one game, but it's one game that kind of jumps out at you because of the struggles.
Yeah, that was the big concern coming into camp. I remember talking to Andy McPhail early in spring training and just really anybody else in the organization. They were really concerned about that bullpen. You know, think about it. Last year at this time, they had Papelbon as the closer, Ken Giles as the setup guy, and Jake Diekman as the seventh inning guy, and all three of those guys are gone. And now it's really makeshift closer by committee, setup guy by committee, and it can be really demoralizing for a team, you know, to lose late lead after late lead. But they're hopeful that Hernandez can get back on track, and they're hopeful, I think, that this is just a one-time thing. But certainly, and Pete McKinnon said it after the game. He's like, these were kind of our worst fears going into the season, and it all showed up in that eighth inning. So too early to press the panic button, obviously, but you know, when you go into a season thinking your bullpen is going to struggle and the first game to come out and struggle, I think it makes people kind of step back and go, oh, boy, can it get worse? Is it going to get worse? You know, how are we going to make this thing work?
And speaking of the bullpen, the team obviously had to make decisions before the season as far as the roster goes. Originally, it looked like Ernesto Friere was going to head down to AAA, but that the team making the decision to release him, considering the struggles of the bullpen and the fears of the bullpen, were you surprised at all that they cut ties with Friere?
Friere, not so much. He quite honestly, he didn't look really – he did not pitch well in spring training. I think he finished with an ERA of over 11. And I get the feeling it was just kind of a mutual parting of ways. That it wasn't just the Phillies releasing him. Very, you know, just wasn't up for maybe going and just pitching for the next few months in the minor leagues. So, Andrew Bailey is still down there. Edward Mujica is still down there. And I think the Phillies look at those guys as potential reinforcements. But it did not seem to be the same case with Friere. I think they looked at him as more expendable than those other two guys.
All right, I want to get into your keys to success for the 2016 Phillies, Todd. And in a sense, we've kind of touched on these a little bit because your first key to success is the bullpen holding the lead, which it didn't do in the opener. And you talked about the struggles. Now, they never got to Dalyer Hinojosa. but it looks like he was going to be the closer in that opener. So let's talk about that a little bit. And are you excited? I know we've talked about it in the past here, but do you get the feeling that he's ready to be that guy in the ninth inning?
Yeah, I think so. He's got really good stuff. He seems to have a pretty good makeup for the job. And it's just going to be interesting to kind of turn him loose. He is an unknown. You know, he doesn't have a great body of work, but when he pitched for the Phillies late last season, he was really, really good. Now, the concerning part is he had two save opportunities late in spring training, once in Clearwater and once in Philadelphia, and he blew both of those saves. So going into Monday's game, I asked Pete McCann, I said, do those games kind of scare you away from him at all? And he says no. He thinks that he was just maybe overthrowing a little bit, maybe getting too amped up about being in a save situation. So if he can maybe dial it back a little bit, if that is the case, dial it back a little bit, kind of just do what he did last season and do what he did for most of spring training, I think the Phillies could be pretty comfortable with him. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to be as good as Papelbon or as good as Ken Giles or maybe some of the other closers the Phillies had in the past, but, you know, competent enough where he's going to keep most of those ninth inning leads.
Your second key to success is that the young starters continue to progress, and we're going to see Aaron Nola in the second game of the year for the Phillies. They have the young guys that are up with the club, and obviously there's other young guys kind of getting ready to go in the minor leagues. Do you include both of those groups in that key? I mean, at some point this season, do the Phillies need to get a lift from the minor leagues as well?
I do, yeah. I think Jake Thompson is probably the closest of those pitchers in the minor leagues right now. In terms of the prospects, Adam Morgan is down there right now, and I think if there was an injury or somebody kind of gets demoted, I think Adam Morgan will probably be the first starter up in the minor leagues. But so much of this season built on this young starting pitching staff kind of taking a step forward. They saw a lot of really good things last year from Aaron Nola and Jared Eichhoff. They have really high expectations for Vince Velasquez. And if those guys can kind of establish themselves, the Phillies will kind of go into next season feeling they at least have a good core. Not to say that any of these guys are considered to be the next Clayton Kershaw or Scherzer or David Price, but quite frankly, at this point, they just need a bunch of really good number two, number three, number four type starters, and those guys certainly have the potential to do that. So, you know, last year they had 10 starters make two-thirds of their starts last season. They had a 6.19 ERA, which is why they finished with the worst record in baseball. So if those guys can, you know, even just finish with a 4.5 ERA as a rotation, they should be in more games and they should see some improvement. And I think it'll have the front office feeling a little bit more encouraged about what could happen down the road.
All right, key number three for success for the Phillies in 2016 is to get just enough offense to keep them competitive. Now, what exactly is just enough?
Well, I think when you look at this team, there's not a lot of power. I think I saw a stat the other day that the Phillies' opening day outfield might have had the fewest home runs of any opening day outfield in like 20, 30 years or something. It was a crazy, crazy figure. So this team is not going to hit a lot of home runs. They just have to scratch across enough runs. You know, they're not going to be one of the top scoring teams in Major League Baseball. We know this. But take advantage of the opportunity that they have, because every run for this team is precious. And what we saw in spring training is a team that hit and ran a lot. We saw them successfully execute four squeezes, three suicide squeezes, one safety squeeze. And that's the type of thing that could win you a ball game here or there. Not going to get to the Phillies into the playoffs, but when you're talking about a team that lost 99 games last year, if they want to see improvement, that's the type of thing they're going to have to do. So, again, I'm not saying they need to go out and just score six, seven runs a game. It's not going to happen. But on those opportunities, whenever they pop up, if it's once a week, twice a week, whatever, they really have to come through and execute in those situations. Because you get one extra win a month, two extra wins a month. You know, then you go into next in the off season, and the front office is sitting there going, oh, wow, we won 75 games this year. Should we go out now and maybe start spending some money on some free agents? Whereas if they don't do that, if they finish with 63 wins again, then they go, you know, let's hold off another year and let this development continue a little bit longer before we start getting back into the free agent market.
All right, great keys to success. Before I let you go, I wanted to touch on the Phillies Wall of Fame inductee coming up this summer, 2016. It's Jim Thome. I think it's a great selection. He didn't play long for the Phillies. Tomy was in Philly 2003 to 2005, and then he came back in 2012. But he got to Philly right when, you know, the ballpark was new, the team was building into a winner, and it seemed like a perfect match at the time. The fans instantly embraced this guy. He hit home run number 400 there. What do you remember about Jim Tomy and his, I guess, being a big bopper in Philadelphia?
I just remember, now 2003 was my first year on the Phillies beat, and I just remember all of the excitement that the Phillies actually got, went out and signed one of the best power hitters in the game. And, you know, the Phillies baseball in the city of Philadelphia was pretty much dead just for years. After that 93 team up until Jim Tomy's signing, they might have a good run here or there. Certainly they never made the playoffs. Baseball was not a real big deal in Philadelphia. They signed Jim Tomy, and he changed all of that. And really, a lot of people that have been following the Phillies closely really point to that signing, that Jim Tomy signing, as kind of the rebirth of baseball in Philadelphia. Because the Phillies announced it, you know, the other day or yesterday. I think a lot of people saying, "Boy, I don't think he played long enough to warrant a Wall of Fame spot." And my argument or my response was, this guy got Philadelphia Phillies baseball back on the map. You know, they signed Jim Tomy. Then they start making trades. And then it was kind of that build towards the 2007 NL East title. He signified all that. And again, in 2003 and 2004, he was still one of the best hitters in baseball. So I think it was very well deserved. I think when you look at the big picture, you see what Jim Tomy meant to baseball in this town. And it makes a lot of sense for me to put him on the Wall of Fame.
And Tomy will go on to the Wall of Fame on August 12th in a ceremony in Philadelphia. It'll be an exciting day. All right, this has been MLB.com Extras, Phillies edition. Thanks a lot, Todd. Great stuff.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.